This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand connectivity solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
IBM goes big in storage.
Plus, blue waters and black skies.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for September 2nd, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. We had a week off last week. Are you feeling all recharged to do another podcast here?
Yeah, that was a nice little respite, a little our summer vacation, such as it was. And now we're back into it. And
we had covered everything. We had to give it 2 weeks for the news to catch up to us again.
Yeah, we're heading into the Labor Day weekend, so I think things are going to start hopping. But we did catch a few stories over the last couple of weeks. One of them, I think, was sort of it wasn't a well-publicized story, but IBM announced this huge storage array they built for some customer they didn't name. It's 128 petabytes, which is, you know, what, five times bigger than anything out there now.
Right. And not only did IBM not name the customer, they didn't even really do a press release on this, right? Someone else picked it up.
Right. They talked to the folks at Technology Review at a publication out of MIT, and they wrote up this story. But basically, it's a research story at this point. I mean, it's this custom-built thing out of their research group, but they are going to deliver it to a customer. And presumably, if it's, you know, it's a successful strategy, they're going to try and leverage that and deliver it to more. But it's not a lot of customers out there that need, you know, 100-plus petabyte storage system, so it's limited.
120 petabytes. I mean, that's just a lot of data right there. You're up to an eighth of an exabyte now.
Right. I mean, I think, in the article they mentioned, you know, you could fit six archives of the internet into that. So not just the current internet, the archives of everything that's been on the web, six of them. And so that's sort of mind-boggling.
That is just a fantastic amount of storage, and an interesting thing to be coming out of IBM. We don't have a lot of the details around it, but an IBM research project. I'd like to know, is there some storage OEM behind this? They did say that it's going to be GPFS over the whole thing, which is showing a lot of scalability out of the file system.
Right. I mean, no other file system. I mean, if they really are, they didn't say specifically, but if that's a single file image that's going to scale over 120 petabytes, that's also a world record. It's not necessarily a single system, though. They did say they're going to use 200,000 disks, and they're just conventional hard drives. They didn't say, like you said, they didn't say the vendor, but they expect to be able to store, you know, maybe a trillion files on this thing.
They're working to single-handedly try to save the hard drive business. Everything in laptops going over to flash memory now. IBM's going to take all the hard drives that are left over and put them into this array.
Yeah, that will impact somebody's business in a big way, for sure. And like we said, they didn't mention who it was, but there's not that many customers that could use this. I think we're down to a few. What do you think?
I mean, MIT Technology Review, I think, had their own opinion that it was going to that large array project. Within the HPC world, I think there are a few candidates. The one on the top of the list would be that this could be the storage for blue waters.
I think that's as odd as that sound. I mean, IBM just pulled out of that on the supercomputer side, but you know, there were no really hard feelings, I don't think. And maybe this was always intended to be the storage system for that, but this is the one they could afford. This is going to pay for itself. So it very well could be that's a 10 petaflop system, or it will be, mm-hmm. and it's hard to envision 128 petabyte system going into a sub-petaflop system. There's only a handful around that don't have storage already attached to them. So it could very well be NCSA. It could be...
Yeah.
Blue Water Storage.
You know, we sort of thought through some of the other supercomputers on the list, especially ones that are not in the U.S., but the Fujitsu K system, I think, already has its storage. Tsubame already has its storage. It, you know, you work your way down the list. You found a couple of candidates, though, didn't you, other than Blue Waters?
Well, I think Mira, the 10 petaflop system, which is also a BlueJeans system at Argonne, I don't think there's a storage announcement for that. So that's another possibility. So, and yeah, there's just a handful of others, but and it might be somebody we don't know, but it just might be somebody that needs, you know, this petabyte data, and this, the computer's not anything approaching petascale, but that would be a very odd configuration.
It would. Well, I guess we're not really going to know more until either IBM makes an announcement or until they ship it. And, you know, the storage system that big is going to be tough to hide under your desk and say, don't pay attention to this.
Right, right, exactly.
This is the thing with some of these large government procurements, even the ones that are supposed to be top secret. You know, they show up somewhere and someone made some money off of it. It's hard to keep them entirely off the books.
Right. This is all public information, and somewhere, if you can find it, and I think it'll be deployed actually pretty soon if it's one of these big systems. Certainly in 2012. So we'll have to just wait for that.
Yep. But it's nice to see IBM with this huge storage news after we've been talking about them with regards to Blue Waters. And I think what we should do is take a quick break and come back. I would like to revisit part of the Blue Waters story and think about what happens next.
Mellanox's end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand connectivity products, consisting of ConnectX 3 I/O adapter products, comprehensive SX6000 family of fixed and modular switches, software and cables, deliver industry-leading performance, scalability, efficiency, and economics for the best return on investment for performance interconnects. Mellanox provides its worldwide customers with the broadest, most advanced, and highest performing end-to-end networking solutions for the world's most compute-demanding applications. For more information on Mellanox's end-to-end connectivity solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering, visit www.mellanox.com.
So, Michael, we were just talking about IBM and this massive storage array and whether that might be destined for Blue Waters. IBM, of course, as we were talking about before, backed out of the original agreement to provide the Blue Waters 10 petaflop supercomputer. Now, there's not going to be a lot publicly said about this in the time being, but I happen to know that the presentations went on to NCSA for the bidders of who's going to go pick that up. And it's interesting at this point to conjecture who that might be.
Right. All right. I think the intent was to get the bidding, or at least the first round, done by the end of August. And that has happened, obviously. So, right. I think you found out basically sort of some of the, at least the scope of the bidders, the size of them. And
yeah, well, this is what I believe to be true based on a couple of conversations, and I'm, of course, bound by NDA requirements in certain situations, but I think we're looking at six bidders have gone in. I know who one of them is for sure, but can't reveal that because of NDA requirements. I would be surprised if four of them weren't Cray, SGI, HP, and Dell. I think that probably makes up four of them right there. Right. Then you can start thinking about, well, if there are six, then who are the other two? Because I don't think IBM is one of them, although in theory it would have been possible for them to go in.
Right. They could have bid BlueJeans.
Sure. Go back in and say, hey, you know, we didn't want to do it with perks, but you know, here's a BlueJeans system. We're going to meet those requirements. I think that's now off the table. I don't think IBM is one of the bidders.
I think so too, yeah.
I also don't think Intel is one of the bidders. And some people had theorized that Intel could front the bid as the primary, you know, going back to like the ASCII red days.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Intel is only a supplier on this.
Right.
They probably got called six times to say, can you give me best and final pricing on a hideous number of processors?
Right. The two others, I think you're right with Cray, SGI, HP, and Dell, the two others, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about Appro, but they've never built a system anywhere near this size, and you know, some of the foreign companies, but I don't think NCSA would go for a non-US based company. It's NSF, and we tend to keep things for this type of deployment sort of US based, so it wouldn't, I don't think it would be somebody like Bull, who has done a system at this scale or approaching this scale.
Well, what kind of experience do you think they're going to view as necessary for this? How much scalability do you think a bidder would have had to previously demonstrate in order to be a viable candidate for this 10 petaflop system?
Well, I think they would have had to demonstrate petascale capabilities. So of the four we mentioned, there's only three that qualify for that, and that's Cray, SGI, and HP, who all have petaflop or better systems on the top of the top 500. Dell.
Now, of course, Fujitsu and Bull also have petaflop systems, but aren't American companies. So we're theorizing that the U.S. vendors are the non-U.S. vendors are out.
Right, and I can't imagine Fujitsu anyway with the exotic architecture there, but it's a possibility. So, I mean, of these, I think Cray, SGI, and HP. I would think Cray and SGI maybe have the best shot at it, simply because SGI has a nice story in that they have the ultraviolet architecture, which I think was more resembling the PERCS architecture than any of these. It was a system that had global memory type model, and it was maybe what some of the application people on the Blue Waters NCSA side were looking for. But Cray has the most petascale experience, so there's that.
Well, and Cray has the Cascade architecture too, right? Which was the other Phase 3 HPCS architecture. So really, to me, if you look at what they preferred about PERCS and you start looking at what are the other novel architectures available, I think you get Cascade or XE6 up there, and you get SGI Ultraviolet. You have to look at that having some odds. HP, the question to me isn't, you know, can you reach that scale? It's a question of what the architecture is. You know, are you going to build a system of this scale with InfiniBand and GPUs, or, you know, how are you going to get there?
Right, and remember, the PERC system was non-accelerator system. That was just the Power 7, the powerful processors, and the HP basically has petascale systems via GPU acceleration at this point. So it's hard to imagine. Well, it's not hard to imagine, but I don't think NCSA would think all of a sudden they're going to go to a heterogeneous architecture, since they weren't originally planning for that. And that's not a small, you know, shift in models. So
yeah, that's my assessment of this too. And as I look at you know, what's available out there and how they might conform to the initial intent of this system, I would have to give the shortest odds, or the best odds, I should say, to Cray putting something in. But it's not a slam dunk. It's on the order of a 2-to-1 favorite at this point.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. I think Cray is sort of the odds-on favorite, but we'll see. And, you know, they always have to meet the schedule, so, and they have to meet it within some financial constraints that IBM wasn't happy with. So, you know, it's going to be tough either way. But I think we'll find out relatively soon. They want to get this started. Like you said, the presentations went in at the end of last month. So we should expect an announcement within the next few months, certainly.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's take one more break and come back and talk about another interesting startup that you and Nicole caught wind of.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand connectivity solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
All right, Michael. Well, we were just talking about Blue Waters. Take us from there to Black Sky.
Black Sky, yeah. This is a company, very interesting company, we ended up talking to a few weeks back. They've made a little noise. They've been in some of the shows. They were recently, they previewed their Apollo storage line. But basically, they're an HPC company that basically has hardware in all the pieces. I mean, server and software, certainly. And they also have workstations. but they're fairly new. They came out of a group of people. One of the CEOs from PayPal, the CTO, was from an aerospace organization called SpaceX, and they decided they wanted to sort of get in the HPC cloud business, but as they got into it, they found they didn't have really, they couldn't find a hardware platform on which they were really satisfied with. I mean, HPC has a, you know, some strict requirements on what the applications are requiring, and they went ahead and built their own hardware. So they did in-house hardware, kind of stripped down, in a way, servers and storage that was, you know, purpose-built for HPC. And then they found that people wanted that hardware, so they started selling it. And that's where they're making money now. But they've got this cloud initiative called Skynet, which they're going to release. They've released it in beta, and they're going to release it soon, I think over the next year, for customers who want to use their basically their hardware data center to do cloud work.
Well, but this is kind of a two-step thing, right? They're selling the hardware to people, and they're talking about a cloud service, right? So it's, yeah, I can buy the hardware and or run jobs in your cloud that you're providing?
Right. They can do – right. Exactly. They can do both. I mean, just like a lot of vendors we've seen, you can do that, I guess, with Penguin and SGI as well with their Cyclone. I guess – What's a little different about this is they've built this thing, or they're developing this thing called Skynet, which is sort of this purpose-built cloud layer that, you know, is well integrated with their hardware, and it's basically at the level of the user, sort of a transparent thing. And I think they're targeting markets that don't really have the HPC expertise or knowledge or experience with this. So one of the areas is render farms. I mean, render farms, they buy a lot of clusters, you know, a lot of stripped-down clusters, just I think like what Black Sky is building, and they'd like to burst some of that capacity if possible, if the price is right. And so they've catered to sort of those types of users who either aren't that familiar with the hardware, the administration, but also even if they were, they couldn't really build or buy these big render farms for a lot of their work because it's kind of seasonal or a matter where they can't really control their capacity, their requirements. So
well, it sounds now this is a story, an angle that we've heard before from companies, is this do science, not computer science kind
right.
of thing.
Exactly.
It's not clear to me yet what Black Sky's angle is with that, other than they've pre-integrated the cluster and you have the ability to do some kind of cloud bursting. But you know, in the sense that this is custom hardware, it's still a cluster that's based on Intel processors with either Ethernet or InfiniBand, right? It can't be that different to manage that versus something else.
No, exactly, right. But right, the value add here would be Skynet. So you'd have a layer there that basically hid all the nasty things underneath, and it wouldn't be like an Amazon play or something else where you've got the layer that you have to do a lot of the own packaging of your applications and providing software stacks and things like that. So
right. The claim is they have some kind of magical superior middleware that's going to hide the system complexity here.
Right. And people are trying it out. But it's not just the render farm people. They think they can work across, you know, the usual suspects, engineering, life science, research, energy guys, finance, manufacturing, but all of these people, to one extent or another, they don't have a lot of expertise in the HPC space, and they, you know, there is that demand for sort of a more turnkey system where you have on-premise clusters, but with the ability to go to the cloud for more capacity.
We've been continuing to publish our series of reports on cloud computing and HPC, and there are a lot of hurdles for HPC in the public cloud, and it's getting to be a crowded space as well with some of the system providers and also providers like our systems, you know, out there doing these kind of cloud services. So
right.
If they feel like they've got the customers for it, I'll be interested to see it happen. But, you know, it is getting to be a crowded space for something that not a whole lot of people have adopted yet.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of these companies are feeling their way, and they're trying, you know, different formulas and configurations. And I think, you know, when somebody finds the one that works, you know, this could start taking off. Everybody will copy that. So this is yet another one, and you know, we'll be following them. They're an interesting company. You know, I talk with them. It's I think they know what they're doing. They know what they want to do. They just have to sort of go out there and prove their credibility right now.
All right. Well, good luck to them, and I'm glad that you got that covered. Always nice to read about new companies in the HPC space.
It is. All right. Well, until next week, we'll have a nice long weekend and come back energized once again.
Have a nice Labor Day weekend. Then as we'll get into September, I think the conference season's going to start heating up.
Indeed. Indeed it will.
All right, Michael. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.